Welcome to the I Wonder Doctor podcast with David Rosensweet, MD. I Wonder Doctor integrates traditional and complementary medicine with the goal of helping you to get well, to get healthy. It is designed to be done in real life, in real time, by real people, and seeks to inspire as many aha moments as possible.
Here's what I want to ask about too, because I know that I still have issues with getting over people that make me crazy, you know. And so a lot of when I post on Facebook, I really read all of the posts that come in, and people say they're hurt, they're wronged, this person did this to them, did that to them. And I get it. I've had people betray me, and friends, you know, employees, bosses, parents. I mean, you know, I've been betrayed. I know what that feels like. And isn't that really what it is when someone hurts us that we know or love and it matters to us so much that it makes us really feel intense sadness and grief?
Let's break out why it is so intense and why it seems to matter so much. In most instances, it matters so much because they're triggering something that's much deeper in us. So you live in, I'm giving an example of, you live with somebody, they're your intimate partner, and one morning you walk into the bedroom and their socks are on the floor, and you get upset. Well, why did you get upset? You could go so far as to say, they left their socks on the floor again. I've told them 50 times. They don't care about me. Nobody cares about me. I mean, I can't stand it. I'm like an invisible person. I'm nothing. And they betray me every day. They promise they're going to pick their socks up and they don't do it. I mean, it can go so deep because we carry these deep, uncomfortable feelings. And so it's so easy to be triggered anywhere in the world. And there's an accuracy to it, because until we understand that we're going to feel afraid, we're going to be sad, we're going to be feel betrayed, we're going to be violated, until the moment that we connect all the way up with who we really are, we're at home in who we are. And anyone who does that, whether it's for a minute or for their lifetime, they feel connected to the divine. What word do you want to use? We're one with, because really we're living energy of love. We're a spark of the divine. We have the divine living in us. And these are words, they're a little challenging to mention, but unless we're feeling that, we're walking around on pins and needles because we don't feel right.
Yeah.
And then we're really wide open for any kind of thing that we think people are doing. Because what can they trigger? They can trigger, I'm alone, I'm lonely, I'm isolated. Well, that's the truth. And to the extent that we're not in the moment, present in the moment, seeing the beauty of life, feeling the love that we are, we're going to feel very vulnerable. And we're open to all kinds of stuff, which are just stories. Because let's say, for example, someone is betrayed. Let's say...
I like that one because a lot of people...
But what would be an example of being betrayed?
Someone turning on you for no real apparent reason, or betraying your confidence. If you shared something that was really deep with you and they told someone or a number of people, or betrayal, a cheating, a person that is cheated on. This is big, you know. This is a big one.
It's the biggest.
That's
about as big as it gets.
It is. And I, you know, hear from a lot of people that's happening out there. So,
and we know there's severe stuff happening out there. But here's, the human race is in general, not everybody, and some more and some less, is in a relative place most of the time of being relatively unconscious. And that means there are couples that come together and they feel like they're falling in love. And what's actually going on is they're failing to see the whole person that they've met up with. And in the early phases of relationship, sometimes both of us are in a dream state where we're just seeing the beauty in the other person, and we're failing to see yes. their weaknesses. And like I heard a story the other day of a woman, of when she connected up with this man. Very soon, she started to see that he was a player. He was going out to dinner with her, and he was looking around and, you know, looking at the other women in the restaurant.
In front of her.
And you know what? She registered that.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
That's hard to miss.
She registered it, but she kept on going forward. And she went even so far as to marry this man. And, you know, and then many years later, the man started having major affairs, mm-hmm. and then they finally divorced. But that took up, that was, so we could say that she was betrayed, but we could also say that had she been awake and paying attention to the very things that she was registering, mm-hmm. she would have gone, oh, no, I'm not going with, he looks like a very successful man, and he's a very, very friendly and very outgoing, but hey, I see this other behavior. In fact, one of my favorite things to do with young women patients that I've had is to say, you know, try and flush the man out in the open pretty early on.
Right.
So you're sitting in a restaurant, and the man is talking away and telling about his life, and up comes the waitress, and she's asking, waiting for your order, and the man is still talking, telling the woman about what a wonderful job he has and how great life is. Mm-hmm. He's not paying attention to the waitress, and the waitress says, okay, I'll give you a little more time, walks away. The flush the man out in the open technique is this.
Oh, this is a good one.
The woman goes, okay, here we go. The truth is, she's talking to herself. I'm just slowing down in slow motion. She says to herself, I sat through that, and then I watched him do that and not be very sensitive, so I'm going to tell the truth. Do you know what? I came on this date because I was interested, but I find that once we're sitting in this restaurant, you're just talking about yourself. It's like, it doesn't seem like you have very much interest in me, and then the waitress walks up, and you're not paying any attention to her, and she's a human being. She's got a lot of people to wait on here, and you know what? I'm concerned. Well, here's the two possible responses. Response number one is, what's with you? You women are so critical. I mean, what is this, the age of women and men are nothing and we're just all bad and you're one of those women? I mean, come on now, give us a break. Mm-hmm. That's option number one.
Option number one actually means, translates, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not really interested that you're feeling uncomfortable with my behavior right now. I don't really care.
Shut up.
Right.
Don't confirm me.
So they're showing you who they are right there.
Their true colors.
Yeah, okay.
Here's option number two. Oh, my. You know what? I'm a little embarrassed right now. I mean, I know I got overexcited there. I could even tell in the back of my mind, but I was so excited to be with you. And, you know, you're so right about being not sensitive to that waitress. You know, I must say I'm embarrassed, but I'm grateful that you would pause and tell me the truth about this. And this is my work. I've got, you know, you've caught me in some very significant imperfections. And all I can tell you is this is our last date or how many dates we go on or whatever, mm-hmm. you keep talking to me. I really appreciate it. It really helps me wake up. And thank you. Now, that's a fundamental action there.
That would be... There could possibly be a second date.
That's right.
Right.
Because without it,
right.
What mountain are you trying to climb there?
Well, I think...
Not you, but I mean...
No, I learned how to do that.
These people don't necessarily improve, but the second option is that man is open to listening to, in this case, the woman. Mm-hmm. She needs that as much as she needs anything. She needs a man to be willing to listen. And if he's incorrect, and it's actual, he needs to admit it. And she needs him to admit it. Mm-hmm. That man can grow. That man can change. That's one of the powers of being in a couple, that if you're both being honest and you're communicating, you both get to grow. And it's a miracle of being a couple. But if you don't have that, you're going to perish. That thing's going down.
Right. When there's only one person doing the growing,
that's right.
It's disastrous.
It's really rough.
But let's then ask because I also because I meet a lot of women that in person or just on Facebook where they're in a relationship or married for a long time and they just feel invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose a man can feel this too. I'm not going to say this is just one gender that experiences
right, exactly.
this feeling, but that they feel the ball has been dropped. They don't notice them anymore. They don't say, gosh, honey, you look beautiful today anymore. And that's what makes a person feel invisible, really, is when people just take you for granted when you're in it. I mean, I've been married now. I've been with Todd for 9 years, and he's a wonderful husband. But every now and then, because our love languages are different, he's not a big word person. He's a do me person,
yes.
not do
mm-hmm.
me, but, you know, he, do for me. Everyone's
take
howling
care of
out
you,
there
yes.
right now. Yes, he take if you know he.
It's and, a beautiful quality,
and that is, and that's.
It's, but it's not. It's not a standalone. It doesn't.
But it's how he has learned, and if, you know, in his 59 years, he
right.
just turned 60. That's his. That's how he shows me that he loves me is that he does things for me. If I just think about something, it's almost like he reads my mind and he goes and he builds it or he makes it happen. And I think, okay. That's my, I love you. That's because I'm the person that says the words. But one thing I have learned about the words is that words without action mean nothing. I mean, if someone's saying all the right words to you, but their actions aren't backing that up, take it from an actress, it's just dialogue. I mean, it doesn't really mean anything. So one thing that I discovered when I read that wonderful book, The Five Love Languages, was that we speak a different language in love. And when I learned what the things he does for me means, I stopped needing the words because I learned to recognize
the
caring and the love.
You could feel the caring.
But that doesn't mean it all just magically went away.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll say to him, does anybody around here miss me at all or love me at all? I've been, you know, and he laughs because I'm making a joke out of it, you know. But I think that it's really important for couples to recognize each other's needs in that way, that simple way, and give that to them. And,
yes.
you know, even if it's not your way, oh, my husband needs acts of service, let's say. He likes it when I cook. He likes it when I'm a wife. And, you know, I've always been a career girl. And since I've been married to Todd, I'm a wife. I'm a career girl, too. But I know that that's what makes him happy. So I just I have my mind wrapped around that. And I do it. And I do it with love. I cook. I, you know, do the things that make him happy. He loves to get dinner in bed or breakfast in bed. So I never did that before, but I do it now all the time because I know that that's what makes him feel loved. Do you see what I'm saying?
Love it.
But that's
it's
what
not
everybody...
It's not the be-all and end-all.
No.
But it's... I mean...
But
those,
it's made
those
our
precious,
relationship better.
That's precious, you know. I mean, there's a lot of ways, different ways to look at love, and it's a lot of love is the actions we do to produce an effect called love. I mean, I didn't invent this myself. A wonderful teacher taught me this. But so love is, it's a verb. It's an actions we take to produce an effect called love. So everything you describe, what Todd does for you, really in his heart, is going on, his caring is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of couples. And I'm not talking about male-female or female-female
no,
or male-male. I'm talking about
yeah.
Committed couples
mm-hmm.
and committed friendships. These are all where the friendship is real. That to be able to identify that underlying caring and do acts of caring, that's part of what love is. You care about someone, that's natural, that's a gift. And you care and you act out your caring. It's a natural process,
right.
that is. But there's other things, like to produce love, one has to reduce the fears of one partner, increase the security of one's partner, be intimate, be communicative.
Mm-hmm.
There's a series of actions, and there's four of them. So if a couple's in a long-term relationship and they care about love, there's a lot of things that need to take place. A very simple thing that needs to take place is each individual becomes more of who they are and more of themselves and more conscious and more awake and more sensitive to what's going on and not so obsessed with the past or the future. If only I had this, or God, this was done to me, and could just show up in the moment. As you show up in the moment, the beauty of the world gets unveiled. So you and I are doing this thing, and this is great fun. But what do I get? I mean, same thing happened last night. The three of us were sitting at the table, Kim, you, and I, and we're talking, and it was the conversation was fascinating. But what was really fascinating to me also was I'm just looking at my beautiful Kim and beautiful you, and I'm going, am I in heaven? I mean, this is, you know, aww. And today, you know, we're in the studio and all the family that's here. And so as you start waking up, as you start getting more sensitive, you start paying attention to your partner, you get the real goodies, which is the beauty of who they are. Mm-hmm. And the amount of beauty that is unfolding, and you get to see things like caring. You get to feel things like caring because you're paying attention because you're in the moment. And then also, the more accepting of self you do, those who go on I want to accept myself discovery program, they're going to run into how our moods oscillate, how up and down we actually are, how I can feel happy and have a great day or feel frightened and worried about, am I going to be okay tomorrow? And, you know, the oscillations we do. Well, if you accept the fear parts, the angry parts, then you're involved in a process called getting free. Mm-hmm. Because if you can do that for yourself, then the vicissitudes of one's partner, they're not such a big deal. Oh, look at this. She's really upset today. Well, I know what it's like to be upset. I'll just be present with her upset.
Right.
I'll just be the safe space.
You mean
space
not try to fix it, change it, just be a good listener. You know, that's an interesting thing because I do think that's kind of it's in all of us, but it sort of is a man thing. Men have the need to feel like they need to do something about it. And so sometimes women, we just really want to say how we feel. And we're not looking to be fixed. We're just looking to be heard. And we certainly want
very,
to be seen. And, you know,
that's very important because, for example, like I wanted to be a doctor when I was a young kid. Mm-hmm. And so I've been in the profession of trying to help people. And here's one of the things I've noticed. It's very challenging to help someone change, even a habit, a nutritional habit. And it seems like the only leverage that I actually can do is over myself. Mm-hmm. And they're long-term projects, and they're moment-to-moment projects. And if I can change anybody, thus do something, yes, it's wonderful that men are capable and out there doing what we're doing. But in a relationship, how much can I change you in the moment? I can't. How much can I change myself in the moment? The most I can possibly do is be a safe place, an accepting place for what's going on in my moment, like fear, if I'm afraid. The best I can do is I can't say to myself, now you get rid of that fear and you be happy right now. That doesn't work. I can't change myself in the moment, but I can recognize what I feel, I can feel the fear and I can accept it. Mm-hmm. That's the most leverage I can do to myself. And it's the most leverage anyone who understands that can sit there and listen. Because being safe, well, one thing I've learned is that if I listen, the person figures it out for themselves because their mind is best geared to figure it out, number one, if there's anything to figure out. But we all like to be, in moments of being unhappy, we like to be listened to.
Right. And if you want someone to help you, you can ask for it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really what a lot of women are afraid to do. Ask for the help.
And men.
Men too? See, I'm not in the inside of a men's mind, so it's a good thing to hear that.
Oh, yes. I mean, Kimmy will tell you. I've come to her and say, honey, I need help.
Mm-hmm. And you're the doctor. So see, it's really, you know the answers, but you also are a human being. When it's your own stuff, I know even with I feel great. If somebody comes to me for a session, I know without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'm going to help that person.
That's right. Because they've come to you and they want help. They've admitted
it. Exactly.
They're open to it.
And I'm not emotionally involved.
Yes.
So I can listen to the story and not wear it, try it on. I can listen to it and I have a different point of view from actually being inside of it. I actually also know that things that people need to change are not something. Everything's learned. They learned it somewhere. I have a theory that people learn most things from the age of 1 to 7, let's say, right? So they know their life isn't working, or they know they're afraid of something. They smoke. They can't think. They can't stop. They can't lose weight. They're afraid, so phobias become out of control. They want to get over grief. Whatever it is, I know I am going to be able to help them unlock that. Now, if it's my stuff, physician, heal thyself, right? But I ask for the help. I do. I ask for, sometimes I just want to be heard, and sometimes I want to be helped, and I will ask for that help. But there's a lot of trust involved in that. You know what I mean? The person you're with or that you're asking for the help actually can or wants to help you. But relationships are so important because it isn't just about a love relationship. Intimate relationships, as you said, can be intimacy, can be with your friends. You know, there's different levels, with your boss. It doesn't mean an intimate relationship. It just means that there's a lot of trust and information that passes between you, not that it's intimate in a sexual way or anything like that. But I think that it's confusing for people, when they do get hurt and then they just go down and they can't get back up. So I think what we've talked about today for that is really important. I don't know if we have any questions, but it would be great if we kind of could take a temperature on what people are feeling right now.
Yeah.
Or what you're thinking right now. And if you are, just let us know. Someone will run that question over to us.
That's great. Yes.
A very big thanks to all the people it takes to produce these. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to head on over to iwonderdoctor.com for all the rest that we have to offer.